You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the third of May. The series is tied. The details are awesome. We'll break it all down. We'll take your Facebook Live questions. We'll look at the intricacies, and we'll cry about Igor. Oh, so sad and so happy. We'll talk about it all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow, pow, pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you expertise, insight, a look behind the curtains, geeky numbers, and hopefully a whole lot of fun. Thank you very much for tuning in. The Jazz have tied the series with the Houston Rockets at one game apiece. And things get exciting now. It might have been a lot of fortunate things that happened last night, but we've made them think. Today's show is brought to you by The Advocates, Mizuma. The store's got a big event going on this weekend. And Grip 6, our good friends, have a brand new women's line of belts, which is coming up perfectly for Mother's Day. So we'll give you all that. All right, let's get to it. Let me start with Igor. If you did not hear yesterday, Igor Kokoschkov has been named the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. It's a big moment in NBA history. He's the first European to become a head coach in the NBA. David Blatt had coached in Israel, and had coached overseas, and obviously people have done that. But this is the first. He's born in Serbia. Igor's story is really one of, you know, there's a great, I think it's a Taoist, it's probably, you know, everything, but I think I've read it in Taoism, about how there's, you know, something happens. This you know, could be a farmer. One of the ones I think I've read is about the farmers, you know, loses something and everyone's like, oh, it's so terrible. And he says, no, we wait and we see how it plays out. And, you know, then the next thing happens and his son gets bucked off the horse and, you know, oh, no, it's so terrible, except for the fact that then, like, the village goes into war and he can't go because he's got a broken leg and all the villagers die. And, you know, whatever this, you know, that kind of parable of, like, just accept what's happened to you in life and move forward. You know, that's Igor. Igor was one of the premier elite Yugoslavian players at the time when that was a country, with Vlade Divac and Pejo Stojakovic. He's 18 years old and he gets into a major car crash and spends months in the hospital and his leg's ruined and he'll never play the game again. And he decides that he's not going to give up, though. He's still going to follow his dreams in the game and becomes a coach. And he's the youngest coach in Yugoslavia national. Then he comes, there's many things that happen in between, but then he goes to, he goes and tours the United States and he goes to Duke and he stays for a week and then a second week, and Quinn Snyder and him become very close during this time period. And Igor tells me the story on one of our coffees. Igor and I have been going to coffee every single morning, I think for the last 2 years, and has really become one of my closest friends. And Igor tells the story that as he's getting on the plane to leave North Carolina, he's been with Quinn for 2 weeks. Quinn hands him a note and, you know, says, read this on the plane. And Igor at the time seriously is like, oh my gosh, is he going to tell me that he's like gay and loves me? Like, wow, this is kind of strange. Like, what is he telling me? Like, what man at hit this age hands another man a note? Like, it was just kind of out of the blue. And Igor's like, oh, well, whatever. And he gets on the plane, and basically the note says from Quinn that I've met very few basketball minds that I connect with on this level. You're absolutely incredible, and if I ever get a chance to hire you and have you on a staff, you know, we'll work together again, or if you get a chance. So in 1999, Quinn gets the Missouri job and immediately hires Igor Kokoschkov. He stays for a year, then goes to Detroit in the NBA, goes and wins a title with the Pistons team, first ever European. Now he's the first ever European men college assistant. Then he's the first ever European to win an NBA title as an assistant. He then moves through the NBA, has been an assistant the whole time, and now becomes the Phoenix Suns head coach. So a great story a great story of perseverance, a great story of just kind of this is what's happened to me, move forward. He's a wonderful man. He tells me great stories every morning. I am a little broken inside. I'm not going to lie to you that, you know, he said to me late, not last night, but the night before. He always has these great sayings. If you listen to the broadcast the other night, we told the story about the airplane. I'll tell it again. But the other day, we were in the weight room together, and he says to me, David, you know, there's an Italian saying. And let me tell you, I'm gonna bust Igor on this. Igor always tells me stories about things or sayings about my great uncle or this. I think they're all Igor. I really do. I think they're all Igor. But I think he couches all of them in this way of saying, somebody else said, and let me share with you. But I actually think they're Igor. So Igor comes up to me, this, and then we'll get to the game. He says, we're in the gym about 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock the night before. And he says, David, you know, there are only two loves that last for, the Italians say there are only two loves that last forever. I can't do his accent. And I said, oh, he says, yes, hopefully the one you marry and spend your life with and the one you never have. And I said, oh? And he says, yes, the one you never had is the high school girl or the something who you believed would be incredible. You never, ever have it. And so forever you believe that it will be that great. Those are the only two loves that last forever. All other move on and have their time and move on. And he tells me the story, and I'm thinking to myself, so you got the son's job. So anyway, congratulations to Igor. Really, you know, I think the win is far more exciting for you guys, for me to be with Igor and spend this time with him and go through the interview process with him. And Phoenix flew out to Ryan McDonough, and James Jones flew out to Houston for an interview with him while we were there. So it was a pretty large part of our week while we were there, and just a huge congratulations. So exciting. I do think it has a big impact on the Jazz. A little bit in here. Here's where I think this is just a part of the process when you get good, but Igor will take some of the coaches. And I don't know which ones, but for example, if he takes Antonio Lang, that's Derek Favors' guy, right? That's the relationship with Favors. And so then that has an impact. Thank you. Somebody just complimented my hair. I just woke up. I got to bed at 2:45, maybe 3. So, you know, there's an impact. Igor has got this incredible relationship with Howell Neto and Ricky Rubio. Lamar Skeeter is just terrific at what he does, and I think he'll pick up a lot of that, a lot about that work. I mean, the staff is really big and really deep. But there is an impact, certainly, on once you lose one guy, he's going to take some guys with him. Like, I don't know if it's one or zero or two, or, but it's a fair assumption. So there's an impact there. All right, let's get to the ball game. The game plan was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The first two plays. Okay, so I went to rewatch the game. I have seen 5 plays of the rewatch before I fell asleep on the plane. I think I know what happened, but we'll do a bigger deep dive on all the X's and O's today, and maybe a little bit on Twitter. Follow me at Lockdown Sports, and I'll probably do a game recap. The first two plays, just sum it up. On the first two plays of the game, the Jazz get dunks. Quinn Snyder makes an adjustment to how to deal with their switching, and on the first two plays of the game, we get dunks. Now, I talked about it a lot here on the program, but they're switching every single thing defensively. And then what we talked about is they switch uniquely. So when they switch, the defensive player who is guarding Gobert or Favors, if Ingles was coming across the pick, or Donovan, or Exum, or whomever, they step forward. And so it's an aggressive switch, so that you've lost your aggressiveness when you come around the pick. And you watched in game one, the Jazz kept pushing back and pushing back and losing some of their aggressiveness. So that was clear. Now, what Quinn built to combat that was twofold. One is when that big steps out before the pick ever comes and before the four guys ever came together, Gobert just bangs out of there to the basket and is open for a dunk. And the next play, Favors does the same, and he's open for a dunk. A little bit different route by each of them, but the premise was still the same, that if they're going to switch before the contact comes, before all four players come in one place, so if someone's guarding Donovan, they're supposed to end up on Favors, But if Favors has left quickly enough, then Favors is, and the big stays to switch, then Favors is open at the rim. What ended up happening as the game went on, the big came up with Favors and held on to him and started holding them, and so the Jazz will have to make some adjustments on that. But to start the game, they slipped that pick, as we talked about on yesterday's program, and got open to the rim for dunks. The second thing the Jazz did that's so brilliant is if that big is up to switch and is going to switch aggressively and forward, then that big is up. Then that big is up no differently than the way Steven Adams was up on picks for Oklahoma City. And if Clint Capella or Nene is up at the top of the key for the pick and you swing the ball and someone drives behind, that big is still up for the switch. He's not back to the basket yet, which means the basket is open, which means the Jazz now have the blender going. They have Royce O'Neal driving. They have Jay Crowder driving. They have Dante Exum driving. They have Alec Burks driving. And they're kicking out, And then there's the aspect that if they start to not switch, then Donovan's got to go just beat his guy, and then Donovan's doing that for 10 assists in the ballgame. So really an incredible, incredible game plan by Quinn, and you saw it on the first two plays. You saw it when they got the blender rolling, and you saw it when them getting the threes. That's on the offensive side, and it's all premised on the fact that big is up. And if that big's up for the switch, then either you roll before you slip it before the big gets there, or two, you've got backside driving lanes. You know, they're giving something up, and Quinn is just incredible in diagnosing it, and his players are just incredible at recognizing it and getting it done. So those were the primary offense. There were a bunch of personnel switches and things that went right. I want to get into those personnel moves. It was a fortunate night for the Jazz. We'll talk about that a little bit. There was some isolation. There was some great defense. I got a lot of things, and I do want to get to your questions as well today. Today's show is brought to you by the Advocates. Matt over at the Advocates has built a really interesting, efficient program. Utah Advocates is are injury attorneys to help you out in case of car accidents. The fact is, with car accidents, 1% of car accidents go to trial, 3% go to arbitration. So while all accidents are different, the process is the same. That has allowed Matt to build a 106-step process that has allowed them to put together through 25 years and gotten better and better and better and more efficient, a system that gets you immediate interaction, great results, makes sure nothing bad happens to you and treats you well. If you're in a car accident, you need help immediately, you call the Advocates at 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. Then you'll get a lawyer who calls you within 60 seconds. They'll get your case into the system. The experts will work on each step along the way, and they'll make sure that nothing bad happens to you. They'll give you good results, and they'll treat you well in the process. It's Utah Advocates, 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. Today's show is also brought to you by The Store, and The Store has got fun, exciting things going on here. Traeger Grills. Oh, the CEO is going to be in town this weekend, Jeremy Andrews, and they will be on Saturday, the Ace Hardware National Barbecue Day. CEO of Traeger will be there on site with Traeger team members, taking you through the biggest Traeger barbecue setup in all of Utah. It'll be at the Cottonwood Ace, which is right next to the store at 6200 South and 20th East. And they'll be barbecuing all sorts of good, fun things. They also always have their smoker going. Plus, you get all the local feeling of the store and the essence of that store, the local deal. They've got the Jacobson Salts going now out there for you. They've got a bunch of new things set up. We're going to get the Locked On Jazz cards for you. We actually have just kind of made the process, so that should actually happen pretty soon. And also, right next door is Cottonwood Ace. So it should be a great day. Stop by, get your mudslide cookies. Go in the back, get your barbecue chicken. Their spicy chicken's fabulous. Go get all sorts of good fun things, whether it's the fresh squeezed orange juice, the kombucha, the cold brew, all the fun local ties, the local companies that they touch into. But this weekend, the big thing is Saturday. It is taking place, the Ace Hardware National Barbecue Day. The CEO of Traeger will be there. An incredible setup at the Cottonwood Ace at 60 South, 20th East. Go check it out. I might have to slide by on Saturday and see if I'm going to add something to the barbecue weekend. All right, but let's get to various game plans. So a rotation change was huge. If that bigs up, we got to find, you know, Quinn had to find a way for Dante to be successful. And the point guard role wasn't doing the best for him. He was a little out of control. He had a lot of decisions he had to make. It was not working great. But they're going to bring their big up. All right, so I got to get some drivers. So Neto plays the point guard. He doesn't play a great deal in the second half of it. But he opens the game as the backup point guard. Exum and AB move to the wings on the second unit and have incredible games penetrating the Rockets defense from the wings. It's just a really good another adjustment by Quinn in this game offensively to get things going. Then basically the idea is, okay, now Exum and O'Neal, you guys are both going to play somewhere between 28 and 18 minutes. Like, we're going to see how this plays out. Maybe you're both going to play 24. And you're going to pick up James Harden the entire floor for 94 minutes, okay? 94 feet, 48 minutes. You're up on him. Don't get beat in the backcourt. Just make him work. Slow him down. He's comfortable playing slow, but back, slow it down a little bit. And that's what they did. And so Harden's 36 minutes becomes a little bit more grueling. And is it why playing from behind last night that the Rockets were able to cut into the deficit, take the lead, and then the Jazz go on the 16-2 run late because it just everything was a little bit more effort? No idea. But it makes sense. Like, I could totally sell you on that. You would buy it. I don't know if that's really true. But, I mean, the key thing in this game is that the Jazz, this game gets, the Jazz take the huge 19-point lead. The Rockets take the lead back. And with 7 minutes left, it really feels as though the Rockets are going to win this game and the Jazz outscore them in the final 7:48 of the game. And I probably could go look at, you know, and find it even. They outscore them 21-14. Harden goes 2 of 7. P.J. Tucker ends up with 4 shots, goes 0 for 4. Chris Paul goes 1 for 3. That was the other thing. How will Neto, in the little bit he was on the floor against Chris Paul, Neto played 8 minutes. He tracked Chris Paul for all. Now, Donovan's not going to do that. But he tracked Chris Paul for all 94 feet. Did it have an impact? Maybe. You know, I think that's really, really hard to tell. But it didn't, you know, it didn't seem, certainly didn't hurt. Harden plays the final 8 minutes and 43 seconds, and he goes 2 for 7. Is it, you know, Dante's defense was great. I think Quinn has enough confidence with Dante to let him close the game. Chris Paul goes 1 for 4 in the final 7:23. Maybe they go 4 of 18 shooting down the stretch. They had a brutal shooting night. So, but those are the subtle little moves that the Jazz added with the time to be able to put into it. Dante's defense on James Harden was incredible. According to Second Spectrum, he had him on 22 possessions. Harden scored 2 points. Now, they just about switched every single time to get Donovan Mitchell set up on James Harden. Now, they did it to open the third quarter as though Mitchell with 3 fouls, they were trying to get him in foul trouble, but then they just stayed with it for the entire game. And that is a sign that, hey, maybe with Royce O'Neal on the floor, they don't want Dante on Harden. So incredible credit to Dante if they were already doing that just to switch away from him and to try to get that matchup on Donovan. Donovan held his own pretty well. Harden's the best isolation player in the league. He's at 1.2 points per isolation. He was 1.0 against Dante. He was 1.0 against Mitchell, and he was 0.85 for the night. So against Dante, I can actually pull that up. I have that access. He was at, you know, obviously he was much less good. Dante Exum is the primary defender on an isolation with Harden 5 times. He did not score. Chris Paul, 2 times, did not score. Pretty awesome work by Dante. And pretty awesome work by Quinn to find the way to use him. Haven't even talked about Joe Ingles yet. 7 of 9 from 3. Some very good looks. By the way, my favorite play by Dante was tweeted out by Britton Johnson, who showed Trevor Ariza just blasting him in the face and Dante absolutely holding his ground to allow Donovan Mitchell to get free to throw his pass to Ingles for the three. Like the mental fortitude of Dante. And then that scream after his dunk, to me, was exemplary of his 12-month and rehab on his knee and his 6-month rehab on his shoulder, all coming out in one moment. Now, another huge, positive, important matchup here. The Rockets shot 37 threes out of 95 shots. That is below 40% of their shots. The Rockets shoot 50% of their shots as threes. Only four games of the previous 87 all season long before this series have the Rockets taken less than 40% of their shots as threes. It has happened in both of the first two games. So if the Rockets lose their math advantage that they've had all season long, that equalizes the series a tremendous, tremendous amount. And that is really a large, large part of this series. We went through some of the numbers yesterday on the program. I don't know if you recall, but we ran through when do the Rockets lose? And one of the things that happened is in 13 of their 17 losses, they had bad offensive games. So they really dictated a little bit. Last night was one of those bad offensive games. They had an offensive rating of 104.7. The other one that was interesting last night, or yesterday we mentioned, when the Rockets' opponents make 14 threes or more, the Rockets are only 8-7. Okay, they still have a winning record, but they're 65-17 otherwise. When their opponent makes 12 or fewer, they're 52-10. In 13 of the 17 Rocket losses, they made 14 or fewer three-point shots last night. Or three-point shots. If they make 15 or more, they're 42-4. If they make less, 14 or less, they're now 23-14. Well, they made 10 last night, and if they're only shooting 40% of their shots as threes, then these numbers are more likely. It's not that you're going to beat the Rockets. What you've done, though, is you've made them beat a bull. When they make 15 or more threes, they're 42-4. Close the barn door and go home. When opponents make 12 or fewer threes, they're 52-10. Forget about it. Forget about it. So if you can eliminate those two things, the Jazz really were emphasizing with their players to get threes up, and they happened to go down last night with their 32 attempts. I think they'd actually like to take more than 32 threes. They'd like to take as many, if not more, threes than the Rockets do in this series to equalize that element of things when you look at what the Rockets are. There's another weird note on the Rockets. The more free throws they take, the more often they lose. Last night, interestingly, is only the fifth time all season long that when James Harden takes 10 three-pointers that they've lost a game. He was 2 of 10. So those are all the game plan areas. Now, let me have the moment. Can we have a moment of, and then we'll take your questions next. Can we have a moment together of truthfulness, of just a moment of honesty? So throughout the Oklahoma City series, I would tell you about the quantified shot value, that the shot quality rating each night. And each night I would tell you that we had so much better shots than Oklahoma City that they have a math problem and that they got, Paul George got hot, so they beat us, but we're okay. Okay, now if I'm truthful with you, by the way, last night the Rockets had better shot quality than the Jazz. But the Jazz were unbelievably hot. The Jazz shot 7 percentage points above what an average player would shoot with the same shots. And the Rockets were unbelievably cold. They shot 10 percentage points below what they regularly would. So they were 10 percentage points below what an average, not them actually, what an average team would be. Though they're not actually, surprisingly, they're not much more than average. They just shoot great shots. for the season. If you kind of break them down for the entire season, which I can pull here, they just take the best shots in the league. Ironically enough, by the way, or not ironically, but interestingly enough, we take the second best shots in the league. They usually shoot about 1 percentage point above average. We usually shoot 0.2 percentage points below what an average player would. But these are the two best shot quality teams in the NBA. So our margin to get to theirs is less than most people. However, just in last night, they had much better shot quality. It's a make or miss league, and we made shots. They were minus 10 off an average player. We were plus 7. They were 55% effective field goal percentage. We were 54 if we had made average shots. All right, we'll take your questions next on the program. Today's show is also brought to you by Mazuma USA. Mazuma USA is a pretty interesting company. Mazuma, if you have 1 to 5 employees and not using Mazuma, you are losing money and clarity. For $75 a month, you get all your bookkeeping, unlimited consultation from a CPA, unlimited consultation from a bookkeeper as well. So here's how it works. You sign up, call 801-980-2102. They give you a free consultation, and you decide, okay, I'm on. So you have an orientation call. Your bookkeeper's assigned to you. Your CPA's assigned to you. Two separate people. They give you your first set of reports. That every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning discussion. At the end of the year, they have all of your books, personal and business tax returns prepared for you. It's really impressive setup for you. It's only $75 a month. It's actually less if you use the promo code LOCKED. You get 25% off. It's at MazumaUSA.com. No contract, cancel at any time, and no hidden fees. Check it out, MazumaUSA.com. You know my friends over at Grip 6 Belts? Well, guess what? This is a brand new line has come out. They've launched their women's line of belts, so you got a big Mother's Day event going on. If you use the promo code MOTHERS25, you now get 25% off. So you can use it on their new line of stuff, on their great new website, or you can just use it on yourself. You can use MOTHERS25 at checkout for 25% off your entire order. Grip 6 are the belts that I'm wearing every single day, ever since Keenan showed them to me. They're great. They have no holes. They're flapless. They lock in with their patented system. They last forever. They're light. The belt buckle is interchangeable from the strap, so you can grab a strap and a bunch of different buckles and change the look all the time. They've got the classic series with some fun, bright colors. I personally am wearing the carbon fiber black as well as their brown right now. Really enjoying both of them. It's a Utah company. They do great work. They've got fun things with the conservation series where 10% goes to protect the habitat on their three iconic species. They've got the Craftsman wood ones that are just beautiful. I need to add those to my repertoire. Maybe I will, using the Women's 25 as the promo code. That's Women's 25 is the new promo code for Mother's Day. Wait, Women's or Mothers? Mothers, right? Did I say that wrong? I did. Let's fix that. Mothers 25 for the program. All right, let's get to your questions. Alec Burks seems to fit well defensively for both OKC and Houston. A lot of isolation and drive and kick. No time for him to get lost on defense. He was great. Rob Mahoney, Sports Illustrated, wrote a great article about it. AB got in the lane. He drove. He kicked. He played great. He stayed engaged. He was absolutely fabulous. Keaton just tweeted me, Mother's 25. He must have been dying. He's listening to the show on Facebook from Grip 6. Mother's 25. I can't believe I did that wrong. Don't worry, Keenan. I'll edit it out on the non-Facebook version. Really like when we have Donovan or Joe Ingles at the point guard. It opens up the game for everyone. Do we get higher level rate of threes when playing them at the one? What's the compared to when they're the two with Ricky? It's a good question. I mean, Ricky obviously is not a great shooter, so they will leave him open. And the Jazz are able to take advantage of that last night. I don't know the rate. You know, Ricky just does so many other things. And frankly, if they leave Ricky the way they're leaving Exum, and they're leaving Dante wide open, is that Ricky is a 38% open three-point shooter, so then it's probably fine. The other one is just absolutely brilliant. Is Dante's speed blowing by guys is going to make it interesting for them just to not guard him. They lay off. He gets downhill. He's just beating guys. Let's see. How about the confidence for both teams now? I will say that I thought that Houston's post-game press conference had almost a feeling of the Oklahoma City concept that, they just made shots, we didn't kind of idea. But when you look at the data, that's actually true. So at first when I heard it, I thought to myself, wow, they don't seem as though someone maybe game planned and did anything to cause them problems. Then when I re-listened to their press conference last night on the drive home on Sirius XM, they did say that a little bit, like, hey, they got a bunch of stuff early and they got hot and we couldn't handle it and then they were rolling. So I think they have a pretty good grasp of what's going on. I do think there's an interesting moment here in time where if the Jazz can win game three, you have James Harden coming off a terrible playoff last year against San Antonio, and you have Chris Paul who's never gotten out of the second round. And if the Jazz can win game three, I wonder whether those scars become scabs. Scars are healed, are completely healed, right? And you've moved on and they're just a mark on you. Scabs still are there healing. I don't, right now they're scars because they've had such a good season, but can their scars become scabs and have it have a negative impact on them? I think that's a possibility. Foul trouble. Do we just need to accept that the play? Yes. I think you just accept the way they drive, the way their guys are, you're probably just going to get some fouls. And the way we're playing, those fouls, you're taking away the step back three with those fouls is what you're really doing. You're just not letting Harden have that space. Why is this year's 48-win team been able to accomplish more in the playoffs than last year's 51-win team? Well, they've won one more game. So, I mean, really, the simple answer might be that they were healthier. Because remember, by that, Favors injury and George Hill were out, though Ricky Rubio's out. And second thing is that the Warriors last year are probably better than the Rockets this year. Right? And so they swept us. Maybe. And Rudy's better than Rudy last year, and Donovan's incredible. So, maybe our best players are better too. Can we discuss moving screens and why they're not called? No, we cannot, because Rudy moves them better than anyone. Should we view this team as a team that has won 48 of 82 or a team that's won 29 of 35? I would say that I think the stat that I'll keep quoting about the 17-win differential between the Rockets and the Jazz is probably a little bit of a misnomer because of the way the Jazz played when healthy. But at the same time, I would also say I think that probably the Rockets is a little bit of a misnomer because if you go back, I think that's only their fifth loss all year when Capella, Chris Paul, and James Harden played. So they should have the confidence they have. Is this a matchup where you just can't have Favors on the floor? Yeah, I talked about this yesterday. The chances of having, we're not going to play many minutes with both bigs this series. You're going to see Crowder. Crowder went exclusively to the four. Jarebko will get some of those minutes he didn't last night. Crowder's going to play the four. A lot of those minutes. You just very difficult to play both Favors and Gobert together in this matchup. Margaret wants to know where the family's there. Some of them were. Joe Ingles was there with his twins. I saw Joe out with Renee's mom, his wife, with the strollers walking the twins one morning. Not game day. Day before game day. Renee took the kids to the zoo another day, and they had a nice time. So they were there to get to see it. The first game, the kids didn't last very long. They were seated in front of us, popped up during the game. And we'll see. Someone's bagging on OKC management. Yeah, you just can't do that. Let's see. I think we're good. Defense wins games. How big was Exum? Exum was mammoth. Absolutely mammoth. All right, I think we covered it well. I'll rewatch the game and have some more insight for you tomorrow. Thanks very much. It's Mother's 25, by the way, at grip6.com. Mother's 25. Also locked on Mizuma. Stop by the store for the Traeger barbecue event this Saturday taking place as well. It is Locked On Jazz by the Locked On Podcast Network.
Houston.
Donovan, crossover.
Game two.
Ingles, corner. Ow!
And the Utah Jazz proved once again.
Got it back.
Oh.
They jammed it. Oh, my gosh.
They will not go quietly into the night.
We will not go quietly into the night.
Who are these kids in the white uniforms
from Salt Lake City, Utah?
The buzz is real.
I've never seen anyone ever do that.
After another improbable playoff road win, the series shifts back to Salt Lake City for Game 3 on Friday night. Hear every second of the Jazz and the Rockets on the Zone Sports Network, beginning with a pregame show Friday at 6:30 with tip-off at 8:30. Your exclusive home of Utah Jazz playoff basketball is right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.